all the fathers here a happy Father's Day. I do plan to share a message geared toward fathers, but my desire is that there's something in there that each of us could be encouraged with or to take away as we think about fathers, a day that our nation sets aside as Father's Day, and remembering fathers and honoring fathers. For an introduction to the message, I would like to talk briefly about the manchineel tree, I believe is how it's pronounced. I don't know if you ever saw a manchineel tree. We do not have them around here, and it's probably a good thing that we don't. There are areas in Florida that have some, as well as the northern parts of like South America where this manchineel tree grows. It is said by some to be the most dangerous tree that exists, and that's due to various reasons. So it produces a fruit that looks a bit like an apple, and just by the appearance, it's a small fruit. But if you bite into this fruit, it might be sweet for a moment, but it turns very, you'll soon get a burning sensation in your throat. And I don't think it's ever known to kill somebody, but has pretty severe consequences if you bite into this fruit. Sweet for a moment, but turns very bitter and starts to burn and causes the throat to swell and can even make swallowing very difficult. That'll last for hours. If you touch the tree and get the sap on your skin will start to burn and blister. Even if you stand underneath the tree, it can have this effect. So I know some of you men like to collect sap from trees. It's a tree you'd want to avoid if it was around here. You don't want to tap into the manchineel tree. Also, if you would cut this wood for firewood and burn the wood, just the smoke itself can cause burning on your skin just by being in the smoke from burning this wood. So a very dangerous tree. Now I'd like to contrast that, the manchineel tree, with the chestnut tree. The chestnut tree is said by some to be the most useful tree in the world. Now there's a lot of good trees that we have, but a chestnut tree is a very resourceful tree. It produces some nuts that are used for various things, and the wood from the chestnut tree is said to be rot-resistant, waterproof, pliable, making it ideal for building things such as furniture and other many useful things that the wood can be used for. The nuts are edible nuts. They can be used for dishes, stews, desserts, and they are also high in carbohydrates, vitamin C, minerals, and low in fat. It's also used for medicinal purposes. The leaves and the bark of the chestnut tree have many uses for medicine. And again, just a very useful tree. So we looked at the manchineel tree, the most dangerous tree by some, versus the chestnut tree, said by some, is the most useful tree. And I would like to compare that a little bit to men. Now, I don't feel there's men here that are like the manchineel tree, but there are men in society that are dangerous and are not living in their the plan that God designed. Frank Reed has said, and I know I've shared this before, Frank Reed has said, the problem in today's world is men. But then he went on to say, the answer to the problem of today's world is godly men. So men can really help society, or they can be a big hindrance to society. And I trust, and I firmly believe, there's men like the chestnut tree here this morning that are very useful and are an asset. And I want to be careful how I say this. This illustration breaks down pretty quickly. I'm not saying there's men that are of no value. No, all men have value, but the way some men live their lives are maybe sometimes a bit like the manchineal tree. So men have the capability of making a big impact on the world. So again, I'm going to be speaking mainly to fathers this morning, but I hope it can be something that every one of us can take something away and apply it to our life. Really, we can all be like one of these two trees. I'm going to briefly go through some statistics that are talking about when there is a lack of men following their God-ordained order. Now, there's a lot of statistics you can find online, and I pulled some from various resources. But it is said, this is from the Texas Department of Corrections. They said this: 85% of the youth who are currently in prison grew up in fatherless homes. So this was from the state of Texas. 85% of their youth came from fatherless homes. And children without a father are 4 times more likely to be living in poverty than children who grew up with a father in the home. 24.7 million children in the United States live in a home where their biological father is not present. So that equates to 1 in every 3 children in the United States not having access to their biological father. Children who live in a single-parent home are more than 2 times more likely to commit suicide than children living in a two-parent home. 72% of Americans believe that a fatherless home is the most significant social problem and a family problem that is facing their country. So there's a lot of Americans, 72% believe that it is crucial that the father is involved in the home. Living in a fatherless home is a contributing factor to substance abuse, with children from such homes accounting for 75% of adolescent patients being treated in substance abuse centers. So a few statistics of that show when there is no father in the home. And I want to say that carefully this morning as well, because I realize there are some homes where the father would have chosen to be in the home, whether it's through sickness, through death. Sometimes we live in a broken world, and we live in a painful world where sometimes against the family's desires that the father cannot be in the home. And I believe God will give the grace for those situations. And I still think even in those cases where there's a death of the father, there still needs to be an important father figure in the children's lives. I think that's very important. I know I've said this before as well, but I've heard it said about dirty pain versus clean pain. And looking at some of the statistics, dirty pain is said where there's like a divorce, for an example, where there's no father in the home would be an example of dirty pain. Or an unfaithful father would cause dirty pain. Now, the death of a father would be referred to as clean pain, where you know, something against his desire, where yeah, it's painful for the family, but it's not that dirty pain that the family is dealing with. So I want to say those statistics carefully, but also make us aware. I know most of us are already aware of how important the important role of a father. And I trust that many of you here have a good experience with your earthly father, and hopefully you think of your father as or like the chestnut tree, where your father did give you many good things. The title of the message this morning is Good Gifts from a Father. Maybe a subtitle could be Chestnuts or Manchineal Tree with a question mark, and thinking about us fathers anyway, what type of father are we being? I have 3 points. Well, actually, before we get there, I'd like to ask you, and I'd be interested in hearing any responses. So thinking about good gifts from a father, I'd like to stir your minds this morning. What good gifts has your earthly father given you? Or maybe what is the best gift that would come to your mind that your earthly father has given you? I'll give you just a short time for some responses.
Mm-hmm.
Father loving his wife, loving the children's mother. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? I think there's a lot of right answers that could be given, or good answers. Mm-hmm. Being taught biblical truth. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll keep moving, but thank you for those two responses, and that's some of what I want to share this morning as well. So, thinking about good gifts. So, now children, if I ask you for a response, what are some of the best gifts your father could give you? You might think of something as something tangible or something that you can hold, or maybe a bicycle or something like that as the best gifts. But the Bible tells us, or Jesus tells us in Matthew, that just as a father likes to give good gifts to his children, so our Heavenly Father gives good gifts to us. Now, sometimes the good things that we might want God to give us are not the best gifts that God could give us. Sometimes God gives us things that are good for us, but we might not always see at the time as the best things. And I believe for you children here this morning that some of the best things that your parents or your father can give you is not something that you can hold, is not necessarily a bicycle or the toy that you desire the most. And we'll look at a few of those here this morning. The first point that I'd like to look at, thinking of good gifts from a father, is the first one I'm going to talk about is loving leadership. The second one, intentional integrity. And then thirdly, careful correction. And this is not an exhaustive list by any means. We're going to just scratch the surface on some of these things of thinking about good gifts from a father. And fathers, this is what I the take home to be. Fathers, give good gifts to your children because a child perceives God through the lens of your character. And I'm talking as much to any father, or I'm talking to myself as much as any father here this morning. It's a little intimidating for me to share a Father's Day message because I feel like I'm very much in the heat of raising children. And I'm a father that has many mistakes, many shortcomings, and my desire is to be a godly father to my children and to give good gifts to my children. I trust that is each of your hearts here this morning as fathers. So thinking about our child or our children perceiving God through the lens of our character, that's very sobering, at least it is to me, thinking that our children are getting a glimpse of God by watching me, by watching us as fathers. That's sobering. And just a little bit more on that. So Bill Sleeth has said three parenting styles that can affect, or he, this is what he gave. He said three parenting styles that can affect how children view their father and in turn how they view God. So I'd like to look at those three briefly. Authoritarian, I'm not saying that quite correctly. That view, a cold and distant father who rules his family through fear and force. So that's one of the three ways. Authoritarian. Secondly, detached, another way. A father who doesn't bother to get involved with his children. So we can rule our children or rule our family by giving harsh orders, by giving strict laws for them to follow through fear and force, or we can be detached and kind of just not really guiding our children and letting them kind of do their own thing and not being very involved in their lives. And I believe the best way is the I should have someone else say this for me. Who can say this word? Yeah, well, I'll just keep moving along. A father who is deeply involved in guiding his children and shows that he cares about them through being firm, compassionate, understanding, loving, and protective. So this third way is the best way, and I think the way that each of us fathers should strive to guide our families or to guide our children. Firm, we do give guidance, we give input, but it's done through compassion, through love, and we truly care about guiding our children. We care about giving good gifts to them. I thought I had it down in my studies how to pronounce them. I'm not even going to keep trying to say those words. So, first point, loving leadership. You can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to look briefly at a few verses there and like to look at some verses in chapter 6 later in the message as well. I did struggle a little bit where to go with a Father's Day message. I've shared a few Father's Day messages now, and the Bible gives some examples of godly fathers. They are in there. There's also a lot of fathers who did not give good gifts to their children or to that did not guide their children very well. But the Bible does give us principles in how we should guide our children as well. And there's a few of them here in Ephesians 5 that I'd like to look at. And along with what Dale said, one of the good gifts a father can give is loving his wife, loving the children's mother. And we find that here in this passage. I'm not going to spend much time on these verses, but I think I will read verses 22 through 33 in Ephesians chapter 5. So Paul is instructing or gives instruction for marriage, both to the wife and to the husband. And this morning I'll look specifically at the husband's role with it being Father's Day. Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself, and that the wife see that she reverence her husband." So Paul, again, gives some instructions for marriage. And I believe one of the best gifts that we can give our children is to build off of the foundation that God ordained from the beginning. We know that God from the beginning created male and female. We know that God from the beginning designed marriage for one man and one woman for life. And when we build off of those foundations, it is a good foundation to give to our children. Thinking a little bit about foundations, we know if we want to have a good structure, a good house, we need a good foundation. Last spring, when we started putting an addition on our house, we had a foundation that was laid. Jason lined up people to dig deep, to dig the dirt out. A concrete footer was poured, and the block was laid off of that foundation. It was important to start with a good foundation, a solid foundation. And it is so sad, if we look at society around us, that foundation is being stripped in society. We now have a lot of confusion, a lot of children that grow up in broken homes, There's children that grow in homes where they have two females in the home. One operates as a dad, the other as a mom, or two men at times. It's really, really sad when the truth is taken away and the foundation stripped. One of the best gifts I believe we can give, thinking about this first point under loving leadership. We lead our families. We do it in love, and we build off of the truth in God's Word, as Dawson shared, and we lay that as a foundation. I recently heard a man share. He said he was given seven words. Let me say this differently. He said some of the best marriage advice he was given was in seven words, and these are the seven words he was told. He said, choose your love, and then love your choice. And I like that. So thinking about husband and wife relationships, specifically, Paul tells us in here, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We know that Christ loves us unconditionally. And Paul tells us to love our wives. He tells us men, us husbands, to love your wife unconditionally. That's not always easy, but that is how Christ loves us. Thinking about this quote, choose your love and then love your choice. And this applies to both husbands, the husband and the wife, but we all had a choice. So generally, the man is the one who asks for a relationship, but the woman also makes a decision. She is given the choice whether or not she wants to be married. So we choose our love, and then after that, we love our choice. This is a continual decision that we make. And again, thinking about the good gifts that we can give our children, loving leadership and building off of God's foundation. Choose your love, and then love your choice. And when we go, when we follow God's plan for marriage, it is a beautiful thing. And when we don't follow his plan, it becomes very painful. And I talked briefly about dirty pain versus clean pain. There is a lot of dirty pain in society from broken homes where the husband was not faithful, where the husband did not lead in love. It causes a lot of pain. When we follow God's plan, it is beautiful. And then moving to Ephesians 6, I'll just read here the first four verses. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So verse 4 is what I would like to, for us fathers to think about. Provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So again, thinking about loving leadership, the word nurture means to instruct, to teach. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Israelites were commanded to teach, to instruct their children to teach God's word diligently. When they lie down, when they rise up, they are to continue to teach God's law to their children. And I believe the same applies to us today. We are to lead in love. As husbands, as fathers, we are called to lead out. And leading out, this applies to many different areas, but one way is in family worship, devotional time. As fathers and husbands, we should take the initiative to lead out. And I believe it's important to have regular family time or devotion time where you gather as a family, whether you read the Bible or read a storybook and talk about it, ask questions and discuss things like that. As a family, you're teaching, you're nurturing your children. That is a good gift that you can give to your children. And I know sometimes it's thinking about leading in love. Sometimes leading in love is not easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there's frustrations. There's pressures in life, and this is very real to me. Busyness of life, it's sometimes easy to speak words harshly or critically or judgmentally, but we are to lead in love, to see our children as gifts that God has given us. We are to teach them well, to love them. It is a great responsibility that we have. I was going to put these verses up here earlier, but just again, thinking about loving leadership, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And again, it's sobering to think about as we lead our children, they're seeing God through the lens of our character. That's very sobering to think about, that they are getting a glimpse of how God is or who God is. And if we lead out of anger, if we lead out of just strict rules from the follow and not caring for them, they're getting a glimpse of their Heavenly Father as that way. So again, loving leadership is a great gift that we can give to them. I'm going to move through these other points here much faster. Intentional integrity. We could spend a lot of time on this, but Proverbs 20 verse 7 says, "A just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." One of a great gift or a great blessing that you can give to your children is to walk in integrity or to live a life of integrity. And we could spend a lot of time on this, but just thinking a little bit about someone who leads in integrity, he's going to be an honest man. That's part of being a man of integrity is honesty. Honest in business, honest with his children, and a man of integrity is going to apologize to his children when an apology is needed. Sometimes we need to sit down with our children and just apologize for the times for where we do fail, or we may be too harsh, or whatever that is, with our children. I was going to read Psalm 101, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to. That is a really good psalm that David wrote, thinking about living a life of integrity. I'm just going to note a few things from Psalm 101 here. David gave a list of things that he will do. He spoke a lot about, or he wrote a lot about, I will and I will not. And I'm going to go through these here quickly. David said, "I will not set a wicked thing before my eyes." So when temptations come as men, are you going to make the vow as David did that we're not going to put a wicked thing before our eyes? "I will not know a wicked person. I will not allow high looks or to be a proud person. I will not," or then another one, "and I will not tolerate a proud heart. I will not allow wickedness to cling to me. I will not have deceitful people in my house." These are all things that come from Psalm 101. "I will not tolerate liars." Then he went on to say, "I will. I will sing of mercy and judgment. I will behave wisely. I will behave in a perfect way. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." These are some lofty goals or vows that David, or some high goals that David made. "I will hate evil works. I will cut off slander." So thinking about good gifts that we can give our children, one of the good gifts is to be living a life of intentional integrity. The third point, thinking of careful correction. I just put a few Bible verses on here. Again, we're going to go through these rather quickly. Ephesians 6:4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So that word admonition, it could also be used as correction. we are, as leaders, we are, or as fathers, we are to give our children correction. We need to correct where correction is needed. But we are to be firm, we are to be loving, and we are to be consistent. And I know sometimes it's very hard to be consistent in correction or consistent in discipline. Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." That word betimes means chasten him early. Discipline or correction needs to take place at a very early age in a child's life. They know at a young age what they should and should not be doing. Probably sometimes before we realize how much they already can comprehend. And that word rod, some people will react to that, but I think those reactions are many times where it's done in a harsh way or in a way that it was not done loving. But careful correction. We do discipline, but it should be done out of love because we care about our children. And another verse here. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." So there's Bible verses, several places, even in Hebrews, where it talks about God chastening us. God does allow us to go through difficult times at times to chasten us or to correct us, to discipline us. And he likens that to an earthly father as well. We correct our children, we discipline them. The correct way to do it is out of love because we care about the future of our children. We recognize that the good things we want to give them aren't just the things that the child might desire. Sometimes we withhold things that the child wants, but we give them something better because we know it's for their good. And I believe the same thing is from our Heavenly Father at times as well. So careful correction is a good gift to give our children. And going back again to the two trees, how will your children remember you as a father? That manchineel tree or the chestnut tree? And I know that manchineel tree is, I mean, that's an extreme of the two, the manchineel or the chestnut. And I believe every father here this morning desires to be like that chestnut tree, giving useful things or good things to our children. I firmly believe that's our desire. But when I think about society, it's easy for me to look at sometimes, see the lack of fathers in society and maybe think like it's all the father's fault, if they're not there for their children. But if you hear those men's stories, many times their father did not give them what they needed. And it's so what I'm thinking about is manchineel trees produce manchineel trees. Manchineel fathers often produce the same type of father. And it takes men in today's society that are striving to be like the chestnut tree, striving to produce more chestnut trees, more chestnut fathers. And I realize each child makes their own decisions, but my prayer is that as fathers here at Shenandoah, that we would strive to be like the chestnut tree so that our children, so we lay a good foundation for our children to become like the chestnut tree, producing, giving good things to their children. And that is my prayer. So again, thinking about giving good gifts to our children, we look at 3 points I'd like to take home with us, or for us to take home as fathers. Let's lovingly lead. Loving leadership, intentional integrity, and careful correction. And then, again, fathers, give good gifts to your children because a child perceives God through the lens of your character. And again, something sobering to think about as our children observe our life. I have been blessed with a godly father. He has given me many good gifts. As I was preparing for this message, I had send a message to my dad and my father-in-law and ask them for any wisdom that they might have, or if they would share a Father's Day message, what they need to hear. And it wasn't all exactly like I shared this morning, but it was along those lines about caring for children. Like, it's so important and it goes by so quickly. And I'm realizing that some of my own life, later this month, Lord willing, we'll have a teenager in our family. the years fly by so quickly. And we have this window of time to instill into our children the good gifts that God has given us, and we can teach them to our children to be intentional as we lead our children and to give good gifts to our children. So I want to encourage each father here this morning to lovingly lead, to be living a life of intentional integrity, and to be giving careful correction to the gifts, the children that God has placed in your care. And again, I know I spoke mainly to fathers, but some of these can apply to every one of us as we live our lives thinking about the good things that God has given us and to be passing them on to the next generation, whatever form that may look. So let's pause for a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the fathers that are here this morning. I pray that you would give each one of us encouragement to fulfill the role that you have given us, that we would recognize that the privilege that it is and the joy that it is to lead our families, to care for our children. But I pray that each one of us would take it very seriously and that we would be intentional in how we lead, that we would lead in love, that we would live a life of integrity, and that we would be giving careful correction when correction is needed. I pray that you would bless each father here as they lead each day. We recognize life is busy, life is hard at times, but I pray that we would not forget some of the good things that you have given us, and I pray that we would be intentional to give good gifts to our children that you have placed in our care. And I pray if there's any home this morning where maybe their earthly father, they were not given much, I pray they can make a change and to become like that chestnut tree and to be intentional about making that change and to be giving good things to their children, and that you would receive all the honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.